is just between you and me, okay?
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, well, I hear you, but if it's that intense, I'll need a solid buzz to think clear.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, Nick Sciarra till 4 o'clock, the Three Stooges this week, at least on a Monday. You are here this Friday, correct, too, right? Your book ending the week this week. You're not going to be...
Yeah, I'll be here on Friday.
Thanks. Appreciate you stopping in. I did want to mention the fact that Falbo Brothers, our new sponsor, which is phenomenal pizza out in the Sugarland area that I've told you guys about. If you want deep dish stuffed or Chicago hand-tossed, it's as close to the real Midwest pizza as you're going to find. One thing I did fail to mention to you guys is we always do takeout and eat at home. They really have a really small location right now. So you can't, if you're going for dine-in, it's probably not the right thing to do because it's a real small lobby and there's no, you know, like HDTVs and all that stuff. So it's basically right now for takeout. So what you need to do is just make sure you want to have a nice quiet evening at home or you're having some people over for a party. Falbo Brothers is the place to go. Just place the order in advance, go out, pick it up, bring it home, chill out, and have some great pizza. So want to make sure we pointed that out because they said that a lot of people heard it on the radio and wanted to show up and kind of eat it there and have a big celebration there, and they were disappointed when they found out they didn't have a formal dining room with big TVs and alcohol and everything. So want to make sure we point that out for Falbo Brothers because we love having them. It's great pizza.
Tell them don't be afraid to send something over to my house.
Yeah, or the
and some of that lasagna.
Or the studio. That's not on the menu yet. They're experimenting.
Well, they're experimenting. Well, who has a better palate than me?
That could be argued. However, when they look below the palate, it's hard to argue.
Exactly.
Right. Man that can gain 20 pounds in a week.
That's easy. I can lose it in 2 weeks.
Right, but that's how many times you go to the bathroom. All right, so before the break, we were talking about the NBA, and we were talking about the fact that the Rockets got off to a decent start. We know that 14 of the first 20 are on the road. We know that they went out in free agency and got some guys, but what they did was they kind of handcuffed themselves in terms of what else they can do to make themselves better. And I was looking at the NBA power rankings this morning, and in looking at it, your Houston Rockets are 3-3, Nick, is that right? ESPN's got them at 3-3. They've beat Dallas twice. Yeah, that's right, 3-3. So they're 16th. Yep. They're bookended by Miami at 17 and your Lakers at 15, but nowhere close. They have the Denver Nuggets, by the way, at 14. And Denver's surprising. They're also 3-3, but Denver's surprising some people. They have played very, very well in the early going. Indiana has gotten better. I like what Indiana's done with Larry Bird and some of the additions they've made. So they're going to do nothing but get better. But your Rockets are all the way down at 16. Is that a fair analysis of your Rockets early in the season? And do you see the ability for them to move up? Because we know that the West is good. You take Dallas out of the equation because they're not anywhere near what they thought, at least I thought that they could be with a veteran starting lineup. But you add teams like Utah, who added a Joe Johnson, who even without Gordon Hayward, they're playing really, really good basketball, right? So you look at teams like that. You look at teams like the Clippers, who I said you got to watch out for, yeah, and certain people that will remain nameless said, nah, they're still the Clippers. No, really, they're not.
Who said that?
No, your boy Barry. But at the same time, when you look at it, they annihilated El Jefe Spurs this weekend. I mean, waxed them. So the Clippers have to be taken seriously. Oklahoma City is obviously what I said they were, which is a team that's going to contend for a playoff spot with an MVP candidate in Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. The West is loaded. So even if you take Dallas out, if Denver is continuing to have a Cinderella story, if the Jazz are moving up, if Minnesota and Portland are there, where is there room for the Rockets? And I said, you said, because you don't listen with your ears sometimes.
I do. I always listen to
it. It wasn't whatever you said about the 9. It's always been hashtag pursuit of the 8.
That's what I'm saying. But I said, without your boy, it'd be, instead of pursuit of the 8, it'd be pursuit of the 9. Because they won't get anywhere.
Right,
that's
I got
why,
that.
That was why I said that.
It would be worse than pursuit of the 9. It would be content with the 9.
Content with the 9 and gone fishing.
The Blazers are 9th in the power rankings. The Jazz are 8th. So that tells you something right there. And we all know Minnesota, when we talk about young teams that are on the come, the Wolves are right there with Tom Thibodeau, with Karl-Anthony Towns, with Wiggins, with the guys that they have. So the West is loaded. And it's going to be real interesting to see if the Rockets can survive and can they thrive with a loaded conference and with a team that is going to score a boatload of points but can't score in the low post, can't really do a whole lot down low rebounding on the offensive side of the ball. And you better hope that their bigs just continue. Like, I read a story that says that Clint Capella, they're worried about his stamina. The guy's 24 years old.
I don't know why.
Whether you're in the bedroom or on the basketball court, the last thing you should be worried about is your stamina.
At 24 years old, you can go all day.
If we're naming Clint Capella low T this early in his career, we got a problem.
Well, this is a perfect place to get low that stuff, though.
The Man Center.
Is that what they call it now?
Here. Yeah, well, they're sponsors here.
The Man Center?
AJ and your boy Raheel.
At 24 years old, if you have to sign up for that, you're on PEDs. You're just doing that just for a boost. Because otherwise, there's no way at 24 years old, you should have a stamina problem or that problem.
So PEDs in that case would be what?
What if you had
penis envy?
I mean, it could be the
penis
blue pills.
Envy disappointment. That's a PED.
Yeah, it could be.
So essentially, how about this? Oklahoma City 5-1. They're fifth in the power rankings in the entire league. San Antonio 4th, even though they took it in the shorts to the Clippers. So you already know that the top three is going to be Cleveland, it's going to be Golden State, and it's got to be the Clippers because of the fact that no one's going to compete with Cleveland in the East, and the West is absolutely loaded. So I don't know where you make room for the Rockets. If you guys think differently, please, I want you to tell me about it, because I promised you guys, especially during basketball season, Trapp and I and Barry and I are going to talk Rockets. We're going to talk about the things that no one else seems to want to talk about in this town, but it's a relevant topic, and it's a topic that people want to talk about.
What do you think about them Hornets?
You know, they're an interesting team in Charlotte just simply because of the fact that, look, I think Kemba Walker has got a lot of talent. And I think that he's proven he's a scorer in this league.
Yeah.
But it's tough to get that compliment around him because he does suck the life out of the ball a lot by making sure that it's always in his hands. And we've known this in the past when you see guys like Steve Francis, Ketino Mobley. Those were the guys that did the same thing here, even to some extent. Some of the other guys, including Harden last year, probably dribbled the ball a little too much and took up too much of the clock. But I think they got complimentary pieces.
Where's Jeremy Lin and them guys?
Jeremy Lin's banged up right now.
Where is he at now?
No, he went to Brooklyn.
He did go to Brooklyn. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So he's back in somewhat of the Apple. Yeah. With some really bad hairstyles on a nightly basis. But you got Roy Hibbert, and you've got Jeremy Lamb, who's
been, that's right.
Lamb's a little dinged up, and you've got Nick Batum.
Yeah.
So you've got, you know what, for as bad as they were a couple years ago when MJ couldn't do wrong right and they thought he was screwing up the franchise, and then he went to desperation mode and said, I just got to get in.
But
now they can compete a little bit, but they also are competing in a conference that's not really very good.
But not just that, just got to get in. He was screwing up the franchise. He owns the franchise. There's no such thing as screwing up your own franchise.
Well, you know that he and Charles don't talk anymore because he got very
sensitive.
Because
Charles told him
he got sensitive that Charles preached the truth, and two guys that I thought were going to be friends for life have not spoken in quite a while because of the fact that Mike got his feelings hurt. And when you're Mike, you pretty much can do whatever you want and then let everybody else deal with the consequences.
Yeah, but wouldn't you want friends that always shoot you the truth?
Unless it's in public. I think that's where the key is. When Charles is in public, some people, look, and this could be said of a lot of people, and I've been through this before, where because you have the microphone in front of you and you're in the public eye, people expect that you're still going to stay loyal to them and not speak the truth. Well, part of the reason why you are in the position you're in is because you not only speak well, but you speak it from a truthful standpoint.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so relieved to be here, because I'm able to speak truthfully about every topic.
I would hope that the day, you know what? I'm going to say this right now. The day when it comes where I buy me a franchise, mm-hmm. and you're on the radio, or you're wherever, you're on TNT, ESPN, whatever you are, if you tell me, Trav, you're a bad owner, I'm going to tell you what, I appreciate you, Joe. You're my guy.
Well, then make sure you have a deal for me so I have a place to fall.
Yeah, you always got a place to fall. I mean, end of the day, I'm not going to stop being friends with you. I still own a franchise.
Yeah.
We go way deeper than that.
Right.
I mean,
so you're missing my point here. This is where the rubber hits the road, because now you've got guys that say, I own a franchise and we're friends, so I expect that you are going to give me the extra special treatment that no one else is going to get, and you're not going to, even if you know my faults, you're not going to sell me out and put them out there in the public eye. But they're not understanding, as long as you're not, unless you're working for that particular franchise, you got a job to do. You got to put food on the table.
You want, it's going, you can't be Charles Barkley without giving Jordan, because that's your boy, a pass.
Right. The thing is people see right through it because they have eyes, they watch games.
And not just that, stupid. You lose credibility for stuff
absolutely
like that.
Right. And that's what I mean.
And then when you think about it, Charles didn't say nothing, I don't think, on air that he hadn't told Mike at some point. And like because they were big hanging out type of guys where they hung out a whole lot. And think about, they in the casino doing whatever they doing. And I'm pretty sure at some point Charles told him, say, Mike, you suck as a dang, as a GM.
And sometimes that's the thing. When you're in that position, be a big enough man to understand you're not great at everything. You were great on the court, but there are people that are paid to be general managers for a reason. Let them do their job, and it'll probably make you look better in the long run.
Yeah, no question.
That's all I'm saying. Sean, we see you. We're going to talk to you next. You want to talk about the NBA? We've got a Twitter question going out there because of my man Raj, who's trying to impress the people that are working with him over the last couple days. I think by the end of the week, Raj is going to have a beard and mustache trimmer, and he's probably going to upgrade the wardrobe because of the clientele that are working in our intern department right now, because people just can't stop knocking on the door wanting to be a part of this show and be a part of this station. We want you to be a part of it, too. The question out there from Raj on Twitter is, how can the Houston Rockets get better? What moves do they have that they can make? Call in, let us know, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4. We'll try and answer them the best way we can. Sean's waiting on hold, and we're going to get him next, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Travis and I were talking because we're shoe heads and shoe freaks. And we were talking about the fact that I have my Jordans on that I got the black with pink trim. And it was for, normally it's like the breast cancer awareness game. But yeah. In my case, it was because my daughter was born that day. So I have shoes, the Jordans that I got married in, and then I have the Jordans from the day my daughter was born.
Yeah.
And you said you did me one better, because you always have to try and one-up me, which I don't
I was just asking
you
if you thought about it.
You said you had your baby's footprints put on the side of your Air Force Ones, which is another unbelievably creative and badass thing to do, and I commend you for that.
Yeah, I mean, it was, to be honest, I can't steal it all the way by myself, because my brother-in-law, Robert, did it. And so Robert did the twins on, you know, on each of his shoes, you know, when they were born. So then when Travis was born, and then Alexis and Justice were my last three, I had a pair of shoes for each of them, the pair of white Air Force Ones for each of them, and put their footprint on
awesome.
On the side of them. The worst part about it is now I have all of them, but I don't know whose foot is whose foot. So because I have to,
you probably should have done just a little more labeling.
Yeah, I should have. Yeah. But the only really
because you can't go back and measure again.
No, it's not the measurement. It's the fact is that at one point, me and my brother-in-law Robert, we used to go to the store and be like, "Hey, how many size 13s or 14s do you have in Air Force Ones?" So they'd be like, "Oh, we got 500 pair. Well, give us all 500." So we buy 500 shoes at a time of white Air Force Ones. You know, and
the struggles of the rich man. I wouldn't have no idea what that's like.
So it'd have been different if I'd actually bought the shoe the same year.
I hope you got a discount or a deal on it. I hope one of you guys was a Nike guy at the time.
Yeah, we were both Nike guys.
Okay.
So, but at the time of the shoe, if I'd have bought it that year, see, a lot of people don't know that you have the year of the year the shoe was manufactured on the inside of your Nike shoe. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, since I bought them all the same year, I don't know which shoe is which shoe.
Oh, the trials and tribulations of the wealthy man with children. All right, so before we got to the break, we were talking about the Rockets and the NBA. We've got someone with cowardly keyboard confidence on the Twitter line that doesn't listen with his ears. He listens with other parts of his body.
He listens with his ass.
Thank you. And at the same time, isn't getting his facts straight, and then starts pointing out things that are ridiculous. We'll get to those later. We want to get to some people that actually know what they're talking about, that want to talk about the Rockets and the NBA. Sean, you've been holding the longest. Sean, welcome to the show. What do you got?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good, man. What's up?
I was calling. I had a two-part question. really. The first one was the deal with Michael Jordan and LeBron James. I mean, how much longer is this going to go on that they were trying to get LeBron James? They're trying to make him surpass Michael Jordan at any level that he's ever played in any spot. But we all know Michael Jordan will always be the greatest of all time. Why do people still...
Well, first of all, Sean, I don't think I would like to hope to believe that everybody in that we believes that, but I think that there are people, and especially the millennials out there, that really never got a chance. It's like we would say, well, we never saw Russell play or Chamberlain or people like that, so it's hard for us to put them at a certain level, but you have to, you know their accomplishments. There's a lot of the millennials out there that never saw Jordan play on a night in, night out basis, like, because in my mind, there's no question that he's the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
And also, you know, when you look at statistically, and I was looking at this weekend when LeBron passed Dream to get in the top 10 all-time in scoring. Legitimately, LeBron and Kevin Durant are going to be the only two guys, I think, that are going to have a chance to be the greatest scorer of all time and surpass Kareem, simply because they did not go to college, they did not play 4 years, they did not do it the way it used to be done.
Yeah.
But you can't fault them for that. They took advantage of the system, and they're incredible basketball players. Do I think they have that eye of the tiger and that look and game that Michael had and that killer instinct?
No.
I do not.
No, and you know what? The only rebuttal I'll give you for them passing up Kareem is the fact that Kareem didn't make the kind of money that he made. So I think after when it comes down to, do I play another 10 years if that's what it took for them to pass Kareem? Mm-hmm. Or do I go sit down and I've made $500 million? You're not going to sit there and be like, I'm not going to bang up my body.
My closing argument with that to that rebuttal would be, in the case of LeBron, he's such a student of the game that he wouldn't play for the money.
Yeah.
He would play
for the
because
records.
The records mean more to, because that he's gotten all the money, like you said, but then it would still mean enough to him that he would say, I have to be, this is how I cement my own legacy. I have to do these things. Like he's already said, I'm trying to chase Michael's titles and how many he's got. He wants to get to six and more. Like Tiger chasing Jack Nicklaus. You can have all the money in the world, but you know, to be in the folklore of that sport, there are certain records, certain people you have to beat.
But, I mean,
Is Sean still there? Oh, Sean had another question. Sean, I'm sorry. If we didn't mean to cut you off. If you got that other question, call back real quick. I know, but if he wants to call back, Nick, we'll get him back in, because I don't want to do him like that. We just got kind of involved in the first part.
Actually, that's a pretty good question.
Yeah, and I wanted to see what his second question was because of it. But yeah, I mean, look, I look at what's out there today, and I see your point. But I know that, like, up until the last 2 years, and look, Kobe to me was the closest to Jordan because of all the his big shot capabilities.
His big shot capabilities and how he studied Jordan. He wanted to be Jordan
and his
so
work
bad.
Ethic. Yeah, yes. He used, you know. Michael used to call it the Breakfast Club, where they used to get up before he and Scottie, and even Charles did it for a year. Eventually, when Scottie and Charles were with the Rockets, but Michael's thing every single year. We talked about Ray Allen and his work ethic. Michael's Breakfast Club was you get up at 6 a.m. even on a game day, and you lift weights and you do things that are going to make you better over the long run and have you have longevity, as opposed to just chilling because you're in the NBA making money. That's what made him a cut above. Kobe had that same thing. Now Kevin Durant's a hell of a player. And I give Kevin Durant all the ability in the world. But Kevin Durant doesn't have that kind of, I'm going to punch you in the grape sack and step on your neck in order to win a game, in my mind.
And I think, but that was the beauty of the game against him and OKC the other day, was the fact that he showed a little bit.
He started to show a little bit.
He showed his teeth a little bit out there.
And you know what? He did it to himself. He put himself in this environment by not being just Mr. Good Guy in Golden State. So he has to kind of own up to it. I like that because it makes his personality change where he has to do that. Sean, thanks for calling back. What was the second part of that, my man?
Hello?
You still there, Sean?
Hello?
Sean.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we can all agree Michael Jordan's the greatest of all time, okay?
Right.
But the second question I had to ask, is this is kind of that non-basketball question, is, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I'm a big hockey fan. I love the NHL. And I know we don't have a hockey team here. I wish we did. But how come, as a radio station, I mean, a sports station, how come we don't talk about the NHL as much? Is it because we don't have a team here? Is that what it is? I was just kind of curious. I think basketball, football, and baseball are.
Well, first of all, like everything else in America these days, it's audience driven. You know,
yeah, it is.
It's user driven, and so you know, it's the same way I joke about the tree falling in the woods that no one heard or saw, especially when it comes to baseball and or in this town, college basketball. People just don't care. So we're happy to talk hockey, but you can bring it up and bring up a hockey question, and then we can give you our answers. Because, you know, I grew up in the Midwest, and I'm pretty familiar with hockey. But the problem is that you're not going to get the people to successively call after that and comment on what's been commented on in terms of hockey. I think it hurts that they don't have a team here. I think that because you're in the South and people don't follow it like they follow the three major sports and even soccer to some degree, but mostly the three majors, there's not that familiarity. So there's not that open dialogue that there is with the major sports in America. That's how I'd sum it up.
Well, you know what? I'm actually a hockey fan too, brother. So don't feel bad, man, because I like watching hockey. I enjoy it. I mean, I really got into it being, you know, at one point I was going to the Midwest doing some work, you know, as far as some TV work.
Right.
And I got into it that way. So it was, I actually like it. It's a good sport, but like you said, it's audience driven. Is the reason why we can't talk about it, because this is Texas. I mean, last I checked, they aren't playing too much ice hockey around here.
I got a friend, though, that Saturday played basketball with me in the morning, got in the car and drove to see his Blackhawks play the Stars in Dallas. And he's a big fan of hockey. And by the way, Matt Bullard, Craig Ackerman, Rockets broadcasters, huge hockey guys. So they're out there. It's just a little bit more few and far between. Hey, Chad and Brett, we see you calling. We're going to get you next. Sean, thanks for taking part in the show. Don't be a stranger. Great call. We got about a half hour to go. We're going to try and get everybody in, get the dialogue going, and keep it rolling. ESPN 97.5. Now we'll still be on top. Yo, I
thought I told you that we won't stop. ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
JB and Trap J and Nick Shirara behind the glass till 4 o'clock. We started some Rockets dialogue and some NBA dialogue, and you guys have brought it pretty good with some pretty good questions and some pretty good commentary. Even worked in a little hockey, which was hockey. From the organization standpoint up there in the north. Fact of the matter is that we enjoy talking what you guys want to talk about. So, Chad, you're next up. You want to talk about the Rockets. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, good.
Good.
Hey, so I know you wanted to talk about Rockets. I just want to go off what the last caller said about LeBron. I'm a huge LeBron fan. And, yeah, I kind of like you said, I didn't get to watch Jordan day in and day out and that killer, fierce mentality that he had. I got to watch Kobe. And it was great watching Kobe have that fierce mentality back in like 08, 09. And that's like the closest thing I have to seeing how Jordan was. But just real quick, yes or no, when it's all said and done, can we say that LeBron was at least the smartest basketball player ever? Because I see him on the court and I see him coaching on the floor.
You said the smartest?
I just see a guy who knows the game so well.
I can't say smart.
I can't even say that either, man. Man, I guess because
I give you credit. He does know the game and he knows it better than most. But, I mean, there are guys out there when you really want to get down to it. I mean, Magic, Michael, and Bird were three guys that, like, knew every situation, every play. And some of the guys now are not the best players on the floor either. There were guys that just there's a reason why they ended up being coaches in the NBA. But there are guys that just – maybe they just, God-given, didn't have the abilities of the best players in the game.
How about Brent Berry?
Brent Berry, because of the Berry family, Brent and John Berry, great calls, Nick. Both guys always knew the situation and knew the game. Derek Fisher was coaching for a while. Derek Fisher was a guy. Scott Skiles is a guy. Jason Kidd was a coach on the floor because he always knew the game and the situation. How many coaches do you know would intentionally tell someone to bump them so they could throw soda on the floor because they were out of timeouts, but they knew they needed to stop the clock to be able to draw up a play to try and win a ball game? That's how smart Jason Kidd was. So, I mean, smart game smarts is different than true natural basketball ability. I'm not trying to take anything away from LeBron, because I think pound for pound, in terms of how big and physically strong he is and the way he moves that frame and gets it airborne, he has more God-given athletic ability than anyone that's ever played the game from a standpoint of size and athleticism.
Yeah, he's a defensive end that somebody taught how to dribble the basketball.
Or a tight end, right. But I can't, having seen them both play. Look, and I said this on the air when I was with the Rockets, and I took some heat from the league at one point for it, but it's true. Until he stops choking on the free throw line when there's big free throws, when he stops deferring to other people and he wants to take and he makes consistently those big shots that MJ and Kobe have always made, those are the kind of things that I would need to see on a consistent basis to rate him on a level or better than Michael. And in my my era, just seeing all the basketball I've seen, I just don't think there's ever any better player that's ever crossed our great planet that has had that unbelievably rare combination of killer instinct, athleticism, strength, smarts, and the ability to make others around him better while hitting big shots.
Yeah, no question. And you know what? And I wouldn't say the big shots that Kobe have always hit, because I remember, you know, being a Laker fan when Kobe first got there, I remember him. The thing is, he always wanted that last shot. Was he able always to hit it? No. And was Mike even able to hit it? No. Mike probably missed about 60 of them out of 30 you might remember. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, he wanted that shot. I think that's the biggest issue. I don't know if LeBron always wants that shot, or I don't know if he's willing to do what it takes to get to that. I mean, because in my opinion, when you're big as you are and the game is on the line, why not take it to the basket and try to yam on somebody and get the foul and then shoot the free throw, go about your business or whatever. But in my opinion, he tries to shoot too much just to be that guy.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, too. The bottom line is the fact that you take nothing away from LeBron because of the fact that he's gotten better. He knows where his shortcomings were or where he was being criticized. And we've talked about this. I said this from the get-go. To be a true superstar, you have to get better every year, and you have to take care of your deficiencies. So he's worked with Hakeem. He developed low post moves. He learned how to use the body that he has that no one knows how to deal with because it is an advantage. He takes advantage of his advantages. So you give him credit for that. But overall, to compare him to the greatest of all time, I'm not ready to do that because of the body of work that I saw and how he not only made people better, but he could take a game over all by himself.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to compare him.
I agree with that because of the championships.
Not just the championships, but all due respect. And when I say I mean all due respect, I mean outside of his Miami days of having D-Wade and Bosh. Let's look at his career. Like, he hadn't had nobody that's even anywhere on the level of a Pippen, of a Kerr, of one of the what's my boy with the goggles that played
Kurt Rambis?
Not Kurt Rambis, but
Horace Grant.
You know what I mean? Hall of Famer in rebounder from Detroit. Lord, my brain.
Ben Wallace?
No.
Rodman?
Dennis Rodman. You know what I mean? He had nobody on them teams that compared to those. That's why I think this last championship in Cleveland, for me, it put him in that conversation. Yes, he's not better than Jordan. You know what I mean? He's not better than Jordan, but you still got to put him in that conversation because of who he won with and how he did it.
What does he have to do to, like, get into the discussion? Because I think
the discussion, you got to get to five at least.
Michael Jordan at this point, at this age, he had three. So does LeBron. I mean, yeah. Does that count for anything?
Yeah, I mean, it counts for something. I mean,
I'm going to tell you this. One thing that is impressive, he's made the finals the last seven years.
Seven straight years.
That's crazy.
Seven straight years. That to me is like, even if he wouldn't have won anything, he's still a Hall of Famer.
Oh, without that, we're talking about the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
You can't take anything away because, like I said, he's going to probably finish in the top two all time in scoring.
Yeah.
He's going to have his championships under his belt, his all-stars, his MVPs, all the accolades you need. In order to be anointed as the greatest of all time, let's keep in mind, too, Michael took some time off, too.
Yeah, which prevented if Michael doesn't take time off, we need more show. And I know it's a Houston
we
show. And
need
Houston
more
folks,
show if you want to get into that.
But I'll say it anyway. If he doesn't, Houston never has a title.
Max, you're on hold. You want to talk about LeBron James. Max, what's up?
And appreciate it, guys. Appreciate it. Hey, y'all got to quit killing my boy here. We got to put some actual stats to it for a second.
Well,
no one's killing anybody, Max. You are, in a sense, when you just completely dismiss the whole idea that he couldn't be anywhere near as good as Jordan. In my opinion, look, SB Nation did a really, really good stat breakdown. I won't bore you with it, but they did what they call clutch time. You know, tied game or behind with 5 seconds to go. They did the shots. I'm sorry, guys. Jordan's 5 of 11. LeBron 6 of 10. Kobe's, like, 13 of 37. I can give you stats all day long where, quote-unquote, clutch matters. And these are all in the playoffs. I mean, you always hear about Jordan. I thought LeBron finally took a stand this last deal and said, you know, nobody talks about anything else around him. You know, nobody talks about the teams that he had around him, the super coach that
I just finished. I just finished talking about.
Do you take into account all the regular season? Because in order to get to the playoffs, you've got to win in the regular season. And I'm telling you right now, those numbers are different in the regular season. I also want to know how many times he deferred, how many times he passed up shots, how many missed free throws did he? How many missed free throws did he clank with the game on the line? Look, he has evolved. I'm not taking anything away from him. And he has the ability, like I said, to be in the conversation because at the end of his career, he's going to be 1 or 2 in scoring. He's going to have titles. I just went over all this. But how come
people pick on Jim Kelly for losing the Super Bowl the same way they pick on LeBron? Oh, he lost in the finals.
Oh, no,
lose in the Eastern Conference finals. He didn't lose in the Eastern Conference like Jordan did. He didn't quit and walk away from the sport like Jordan did. Everybody just wants to paint Jordan like he was this great dude that didn't have 3 top 50 players around him and the best coach of all time. LeBron went to the finals with garbage coaches. He drug Eric Spoelstra. Come on.
Man, you can't mention Eric Spoelstra. I think kind of hurt your argument a little bit, just for the simple fact is, yes, Spoelstra is a pretty solid coach, and he also had LeBron.
What's he been doing the last three years without LeBron, though?
But here's the thing:
it's also not LeBron, not Bosch. No one's right or wrong. It's just the beauty of the discussion. But you have to factor that in.
You got to factor that in because if you were to redo the top 50 of all time, a couple guys that he's played with would be in that top 50 of all time. Dwayne Wade would be in that top 50 of all time.
Yep. Well, Ray Allen probably could be. But here's my thing. Max
won him that ring.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that was a big shot, too, with Ray Allen. But, Max, here's my other thing, too. And I've said this before. I'm not afraid to say it on the radio. I honestly believe that if Michael Jordan doesn't play with Scottie Pippen, I'm not sure Scottie Pippen is top 50 all time.
That's a yes and no. I mean, it's open for discussion, let me tell you. But here's the same thing. In that same breath, you can say, if Michael Jordan didn't play with Scottie Pippen, he wouldn't be the top greatest of all time. You can say the same thing for him, too.
You could also say that we're here at ESPN 97.5 and we're going to be here till 4. Just saying.
ESPN 97.5.
What?
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
All right, we're going to keep these kind of conversations going throughout the year. That's what's fun about this time of the year because we got basketball, we got football, we got a lot going on and a lot to talk about. And you guys are passionate about it. I love that. Some people are rational and passionate. Some people are just plain. Well, Trav, that's where I kind of throw it to you and let you finish that one. But we know that people on Twitter with their cowardly keyboard confidence seem to think that they got the world figured out one tender morsel at a time. We can just let those people marinate. Okay, we got Ben and Brent both waiting. We're going to try and get through both of you, so let's try and make them quick. Ben, what's up, man? Welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys? I was just chiming in, I guess, on what y'all were talking about with LeBron making, 6 or 7 finals in a row.
Yep.
And, I mean, it's very impressive, don't get me wrong, but basically, I mean, he's been doing that in a kind of a lesser Eastern Conference, to where as soon as that Celtics team with Allen, Garnett, and Pierce broke up, there hasn't really been anybody to compete with him in the East. And so there's been a few of those times when he's made it to the finals where he wasn't even close to competing with whichever team made it out of the West. But, yeah, he did make it to the finals, but he wasn't competing against guys that Jordan was competing against, like the Celtics, the Bird, earlier in his career, and things like that, to where if he would have been out West, he would have made it to the finals maybe 3 or 4 of those 6 or 7, whatever it is, and not actually the total in a row.
But I mean, it's the product that you play against right now. I mean, end of the day, a lot of them NBA teams would have got destroyed by a few of these guys nowadays.
Here's the thing. This is why it's all so difficult, because back in the day, it was a big man's league. It was called and officiated a different way. We all go back to the Rambis play where McHale knocks him on his ass, and you say that that's when a lot of hard fouls were just hard fouls. So we can it really essentially is apples to oranges, and it's just for the beauty of being able to have the discussion, because we're all fans of the game and we can all break it down a million different ways. But when you look at these things, some of the things that you got to take into effect when you're comparing is the style of play, is, you know, the fact that, look, we know back in the Eastern Conference, I'll go back to the Milwaukee Bucks. I said this the other day. The Bucks had teams that gave the Celtics and the Sixers fits, but the Eastern Conference used to beat the living hell out of each other just to get to the finals, and whoever survived then had to face the Lakers team that came out pretty unscathed because they played a different style of play. They played up-tempo. Exactly. They played showtime. The East played beat the hell out of each other, and the best team wins.
East played NFC North type basketball, exactly. Black and blue division.
Yeah, so it's, you know, look, it's all for the beauty of discussion, but the fact of the matter is you can't take away anything from anybody. Some people think Jerry Rice is the greatest of all time. Some people think Reggie White. Some people think somebody else. But you know what? That's the beauty of sports, and that's why we say sports isn't real life, and it's not that serious, but it is great when we all can have educated opinions, and we can give them in a concise manner where we can have a discussion about it instead of taking shots at people.
Yeah, we got a few guys right now on Twitter that's that taking shots at us, but you hit them with that bye, Felicia, man. Move on, man. Really, we ain't got time for that.
Yeah, you know what? And if you're worried about what ratings we're getting, fact of the matter is, you're listening, or you wouldn't be. Yeah, you're listening, or you would not be responding. So thanks for playing. Brett, you're on next with us talking NBA. What's up, man?
Yes, there's two words you're forgetting when you were in the conversation about the greatest basketball player of all time, and that's Bill Russell.
You hit it on the head.
Discussion. And another thing about Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen's definitely a top 50 player of all time, with or without Michael Jordan. Here's why. In the 2 years that Michael Jordan left, Scottie Pippen led the Bulls in six categories and was robbed of the finals against the Knicks. And I think Michael Jordan kind of hurt him, but when Michael Jordan came back that second year, but they went up against a pretty good, pretty stout Magic team with Shaquille O'Neal and Penny Hardaway.
D. Scott.
And then Scottie Pippen went to Portland and took them to a Western Conference final, but they kind of broke down at the end, but that wasn't on Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen was robbed of two MVPs in the finals because he played with Michael Jordan. Scottie Pippen is 50 all day, top 50 all day, man.
Oh, and I hear, here's the thing, and is this Brent, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Brent, and I agree with you. Here's the thing. It's like I was telling Joel as well, is I think Scotty became Scotty because of Mike, and I think Mike became Mike because of Scotty. You know, is the simple fact is there's no way in history can we say if Michael Jordan doesn't play with Scotty, is he still Michael Jordan? Outside of name, is he still the greatest player ever? You know what I mean? Arguably with Bill Russell,
well,
arguably
also,
with Lou
Alcindor.
But it's Alcindor.
Also like you saying if MJ never left the game, they would have beat the Rockets. We don't know
because
it
didn't happen. You can never play it out.
And look, I was
they would have wore the Rockets out. I'm sorry. I'm from Chicago. They would have.
Well,
the
that's
Rockets
why
out.
You say that's that because we had Mario Ellie in studio. And look, I'll give you this, and I'm not Travis, so I don't name drop like that. But
you just deal with Mario Ellie,
and I love you all the same. We had him on show, but MJ was at Charles's house with Rudy T and the Rockets when the Rockets were on the road. And MJ said, flat out, that big African would have worn us out because of the fact that Olajuwon was the best player. So regardless, we still would have to play the series, but he knew going in, Olajuwon at that point was at a level where no one could come close. Yeah. But again, when people say Olajuwon versus Tim Duncan, really, because Timmy played the center and he played the power forward. Yeah. Just like saying Russell and Chamberlain, I wish I would have been, and you know what? Not only do I wish I could have seen them play, but I wish that we would have had league pass back then and had the ability to see him play night in, night out, because that was when the big men, man, when you had premier big men every night.
Hey, like they say about the dinosaurs, that's when the big man roamed the floor. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah. Hey, but I appreciate the time and I enjoy your show, man.
Oh, man. Thanks, Brent, man. You know,
Brent, don't be a stranger,
bro.
That's a great call.
That was a great call. I like that
guy. No doubt about it. No, and that's what we're talking about. Look, as long as you have a decent take and you want to talk about it, we'll talk about it with you all day long. You want to take shots. Like, you know, we got and this guy out here, you know, first of all, I'm calling him out because you called him out. But we got a guy out here saying, well, where's your ratings? Because our first month in, we got a 2.0. Guess what? 1 month in, and we're competing and beating people that have been at this for a long time.
Yeah.
It's only getting started, brother. And conversations like this, when we start talking basketball,
and I say his
only
name.
Make it better.
And I say his name, Terry Lee _.
Yeah, so the fact of the matter is, too, where's your ratings, my brother, for whatever you do for a living?
Man.
And guess what? If we're on Twitter having a conversation, it's going to be kept at a level where we have an open dialogue. If you want to have a dialogue and take shots, guess what, man? You still got to go home and live your life every single day. Hey, that's not our fault. That's yours.
I don't ever trust a man with a selfie for a profile picture, so we'd be all right.
Well, I tell you what. Good luck with your manscaping, and we'll talk about the rest of it later. Man. Trav, always good to have you in. We'll see you again on Friday.
The show's over.
I know, blew by it. But hey, you know what? We're not done. Like I told you, with basketball season firing up, it's going to get even better because now we can continue this conversation. We can get into more, but we've got tons to talk about. We've got NFL. We've got college football rankings coming out tomorrow. We got the Rockets after a game tonight against the Wizards in Washington. Lots to talk about. Barry's in tomorrow. Barry's in the next 3 days. Travis is here on Friday. We're here every day. Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 with our 2.0. It's the Joel Blank Show.
Bye, Terry.
ESPN 97.5.